Hello, my name is Jennifer Marsman, and I'm in Microsoft's Bellevue City Center office talking with the Bing Predicts team. This is one of a series of videos that dives into the machine learning technology that the Bing Predicts team is using in order to predict the results on award shows, reality TV shows, elections, and sporting events. Now, in this particular episode, we're going to focus on elections and politics. And I'm joined here by Gene. Gene, would you like to introduce yourself and tell me a little bit about what you do on Bing Predicts?
Yes, I am a developer on Bing Predicts. I've been with Microsoft for a very long time and have worked on lots of different things. And I'm basically responsible for our political predictions.
Wow. That's really exciting stuff. I know I really experienced a fun surprise when I live in the state of Michigan.
Yes.
And we had our primaries about 2 weeks ago or so.
Yes.
And at that time, I got home from work and I was really curious to see who was leading in my home state. And so I actually went to Bing, which I use for all my searches, and I typed in, I think, Michigan primaries.
Mm-hmm.
And I got a really neat thing that popped back up that showed me exactly what the results were in the primaries, and was actually updating as the results were rolling.
Yep.
In,
mm-hmm.
I saw a neat visualization of all of that data. So it was amazing. So I'm excited for you to show it to everyone today, because that was just a really fun surprise to see in Bing. Yeah. So how have you guys done in the past on politics and elections related predictions?
Well, we did do predictions in 2014 where we had a pretty good record. But that's really the only substantial U.S. election that we've done. We did the Scottish referendum, where we correctly predicted that it would fail. And then we are doing this. So this is pretty much new ground that we're breaking. It's much more involved than what we did in 2014. And so we're just discovering it as we go along.
Nice. So can you talk a little bit about what's currently offered at Bing.com? I think there's a Bing.com/elections too, right?
Yes. Here, I'll show you our election experience. It's what's called an answer. So it's integrated with the results page when you do an election-related query, like primary election. Okay, so what you can see here is at the top of the page is an election experience, and then search results below it. Okay, this lists the default page lists the primary results by states along with predictions. So in this case, these are listing completed races. This is showing the current delegate standings. And then finally, you can see the predictions by hovering over, you can see who's predicted here and by how much, by hovering over predicted winner. You can also see that we are 41 of 54, which is about 75% or 74% currently. Okay, and then for today's primaries, even though these will be done by the time you're watching this, we're predicting Hillary and Trump in Arizona, and Bernie and Ted Cruz in Utah.
Yeah, that's very interesting. And I love how when you get to the webpage, it actually shows you, it scrolls right to the current date. So if you scroll up, you can see things that have already happened. And then when you scroll down, you can see the ones that have yet to happen and your predictions there.
Yes. And as you can see, we haven't released all of the predictions yet. Probably right after this one, we'll release the next batch through April.
That's great.
Okay. But you can see the results here, but you can also do research. You can look at where each candidate is on a progressive to conservative axis and where they are on individual issues. So for instance, if I click on environmental issues, you can see that Hillary Clinton is very progressive, Ted Cruz is very conservative, and then Kasich is sort of in the middle, and Trump is very conservative, okay? These bars are based on analysis of the candidate's speeches and their points of view.
Okay.
That's something that anybody can do. What we added to this is what we're calling the public score, which is basically where the public is on this issue.
All right.
Okay, so to do that, we mined searches and we mined social data, and then built a classifier that would A, identify that the discussion or the text was about a particular issue, and then whether the sentiment was positive or negative, or rather whether it was progressive or conservative.
Right.
And that's where you get these public scores. So for instance, on gun control, the public in general is much more towards the middle. If we look at like immigration, they tend to be progressive. Social Security, tax reform, they actually tend to be conservative, et cetera. And then, you know, you can click on individual candidates to find out where they lie, so on all the issues. So you can see the different public scores here as the dots, and then the candidates' positions as the bars.
Yeah, it would be really cool if I could actually take kind of how I feel about each of those issues and be able to see which candidate like maps closest to my
yes,
personal beliefs.
You can click on My BPI. Okay, so if you answer these questions here, it will come up with an estimate of your score that you can compare against the candidates.
Oh, very interesting. That's very cool. Very cool. It's a good tool for just at least exploring how everybody feels and getting just
yes,
another source of information.
And just a note about privacy, this data is thrown away. It's not retained. So you can actually put in your true beliefs there.
All right, very good. Yeah, it doesn't even leave the client machine, right? It never even touches the server. It just
right,
stays completely on your own machine and
yes,
then can be deleted completely.
Right.
So
in addition to exploring the issues about a candidate, you can look at the timeline of the election. So when the primaries are, if there were any debates in this time window, they would be there, et cetera. And then you can look at the popularity or the buzz surrounding candidates. Unfortunately, this isn't too exciting because Donald Trump dominates basically popularity or buzz.
Yeah.
Everybody's talking about him.
Yes.
And I'll talk about this in a second, but they're not necessarily all saying good things about him.
Right.
It's just they're talking about him. And that is interesting.
Is there a way to do sentiment analysis to see if they're saying positive or negative things?
Yes, there is, but I'll talk about that a little later.
Okay.
We're using that in our predictive models, but not yet in this.
Okay.
Okay. And then, of course, you can slice and dice on gender as well as age. So, for instance, you can see, well, if we look at the most striking example is the Democrats. So you can see that Bernie Sanders leads among 18 to 34s, and Hillary leads among 55 pluses. And so again, we did this through a machine learned classifier that looks at the vocabulary that you use and comes up with a probability that you're male or female or in a certain age group.
Interesting. That's very interesting.
So
I wonder how I would actually rank in that. It's funny, I think just because I search for a lot of computer-related terms, there are some websites that
people
believe
might,
I'm a man,
yes,
that think I'm a man. Like, I
yes,
see the ads that are surfaced
and such. And of course, that's the danger of all
yeah,
of this, in that any machine learned model is trained to identify the average case very well,
right,
but not necessarily outliers.
Yes, yes.
So, and we're not all average.
Yes.
As we know.
And with good reason, though. That's wonderful.
Okay. So, and then, of course, you can see this split out by geography. So there are states where Hillary Clinton gets more buzz, and then there are states where Bernie Sanders gets more buzz. You can see that Bernie Sanders actually gets much more buzz in Arizona, which is voting today, even though Hillary Clinton is actually favored in the election. So this shows that popularity is not necessarily the same as support.
Makes sense. Makes sense. Yeah.
Okay. I think that's all for our experience. You can explore this as you wish.
All right. And then how do people get to this experience if they want to?
You do a search that is related to the election. Okay. So we have analyzed the universe of searches and hopefully identified the ones that are related to the election that will trigger this. So for instance,
yeah, Michigan primaries was the one that I did search when I when I kind of was surprised by this.
Okay, that worked.
Yeah,
that triggered.
It sure does.
So that's a good thing.
It sure does.
And we can see the results here. And we can see that in this case, the Republican prediction was correct because Donald Trump won and I predicted Donald Trump. The Democratic prediction was wrong. So that was a loss. I had predicted Hillary Clinton. Granted, she only lost by half of 1%, but still those toss-ups are very difficult.
Yes, yes. Those are extremely difficult, I'm sure. Now, this is amazing. Now, for the primaries portion, can you go into detail on how you made those predictions?
Yes, yes. So basically, we have used machine learning to train a model that integrates a set of features or signals and is trained against historical data, okay? So as our sort of truth set, we initially used the voting data from the 2012 Republican primaries.
Okay.
And part of the reason that we couldn't use data elections further back is because things like Twitter and Bing didn't really exist 8 years ago, or if they did, they were just blips, so they weren't part of the common experience.
Right.
Okay.
That makes sense.
So that sort of has limited us initially to 2012. Okay. What we're doing now is that as the election proceeds, we are integrating completed races into the training data to make it better.
Okay.
So our model should be getting more and more solid as it goes along.
Excellent.
Okay. And then the signals that we use, we're using polls, prediction markets, demographics, historical behavior, and then web and social signals.
Okay.
You may have a question, if you're not into predictions, what's a prediction market? Okay. So a prediction market is essentially the same as a Vegas sports book. Individuals go up and they place bets on certain outcomes and they get a payout if they are correct. And there are odds that are constantly adjusting, etc. This may not sound relevant for something like politics, but it actually is. It's a way to get to tap into the wisdom of the crowds. So if lots of people who are studying elections closely basically bet a certain way, then we can infer that the collective them knows something, okay, and use that as a signal.
Okay.
Now, don't try this at home. In betting on prediction markets is illegal in the U.S., but there are several great sites in Europe that cover this election.
All right, there you go. Very, very interesting. Now, did you have to do a lot of cleaning, or I assume there was a pretty extensive data cleaning process on all of these signals or features that you just mentioned?
Yes. Mainly the cleaning comes from two sources. A lot of the data is very sparse.
Okay.
So we may think that everybody out there is talking about elections because we're in that little bubble. But actually, only a small portion of the population is really into it. And so that means when you break that data down, for instance, by candidate, by state, you're getting into smaller numbers that are less accurate. So we had to do a lot of smoothing in the data to remove noise and, you know, averages over long periods of time, things like that, as well as constructing sort of time series features to see how the numbers are changing, like, you know, what's the velocity of the line and how is it accelerating, that kind of thing.
Okay.
So that's some of the data cleaning. The other main issue, which is sort of unique to elections, is that a lot of the historical data that's out there is not in easy-to-consume digital form.
Okay.
So this has required a lot of, for instance, FTPing data off of a government website and then mashing it up in Excel to get it into a usable form. Or you know, even some OCR to get some stuff from old scanned documents.
So
that has been a challenge.
Oh, absolutely. Well, it sounds like you guys have done some great stuff around there. When you mentioned the sparse data set, so that means there's kind of a lot of empty kind of fields.
Yes.
Did you use any techniques to generate random data based on outliers, or were you trying to fill in those gaps?
We're mainly
trying
to fill in the gaps,
okay,
to smooth it out.
Okay.
So if you have an empty bit here and you've got some data here and data here, you could sort of guess what this bit is, what the empty bit is, and then you can smooth that over.
Makes a lot of sense. All right, so we've talked a little bit about your features and then your data cleaning process. What about the algorithms? Then these feed into a bunch of algorithms. And
yes.
I know there's a variety of algorithms out there, and most of the time it's an ensemble of things that makes it all work together. But are you using decision trees?
We are currently using Random Forest.
Random Forest,
okay.
Great.
Random Forest tend to perform better than, they're better than simple linear regression because they're nonlinear.
Mm-hmm.
And doing linear regression with a small data set doesn't really work that well. And then they work better with smaller sets of data than gradient boosted trees, which is what we would normally use. Mm-hmm. And so that's why we're using Random Forest.
Okay, great, thank you.
Yes.
Interesting information. All right, so we kind of saw a demo and we saw what you guys are working on. So what's unique about what you guys are doing versus your competitors and other folks who are trying to do election predictions?
Okay, so first of all, most of our competitors use either polls or prediction markets,
okay,
and rarely both, okay? Some of them use demographics, okay?
Mm-hmm.
What we have are special sauce is that we have access to web and social signals, okay? And so what's a web signal? Well, when you do a search, a query on Bing, and then you click on a result, that's a web signal, okay? So what I can look at is, you know, the types of searches that were done and the types of websites that were clicked on. The key here is in separating out interest in a candidate from support for the candidate.
Yes.
Okay?
Yes.
So that has required quite a bit of experimentation. As we showed, you know, Bernie Sanders, for instance, dominates interest in Arizona. But how much of that is actual support? Okay, so one of the things that can be useful, for instance, if you do a search that has to do with donating to a campaign, we can infer that support.
Mm-hmm.
If you have browsed to or searched to a website for donations or to a super PAC, well, you probably haven't done that, or whatever, then we can also infer those as signs of support. Mm-hmm. On the social side, we can look at the type of activity that you're doing. And we found that one of the best indicators is if you retweet a candidate's tweets, you're likely a supporter.
Yes, that makes absolute sense.
Okay,
yep.
Not if you're just tweeting about a candidate, you're just interested, but if you're retweeting the candidate's tweets, you're a supporter. Another thing is you can sort of a higher recall but lower precision technique is we can run sentiment analysis on the social signals and see what the mood is. Is the sentiment positive towards a candidate or negative? And, you know, on average. Now that's a lower precision thing just because sentiment models and language, you know, sarcasm
hard.
Is very hard.
Hard,
right?
Yeah,
okay,
yeah.
But we can do it and we can get some signal out. And the good thing is that many more people are doing that than are actually donating money.
Okay.
Right. So that's another type of valuable signal. So it's this web and social stuff which really is our unique attribute or whatever, or our value that we're adding. Okay. The final good thing about web and social is that it's constantly updating, okay? You know, people are constantly tweeting, people are constantly searching on Bing, they're constantly browsing using IE, and so we can mine an up-to-the-minute signal about these candidates, okay? If you compare that against a traditional poll, with a traditional poll, some organization has to pay a substantial amount of money to go out and survey a bunch of people, aggregate the results, quality check them, and then release them to the public. That cycle is usually like 5 days.
Oh, wow.
And so the poll results you're getting are actually from several days ago, yeah. even though they come out today. Whereas our stuff, it's from right now. It's from minutes ago. And that's the advantage of it.
That's wonderful. And it really is, especially in politics. Like, there are certain candidates that, you know, after a single speech that went horribly wrong,
yes.
it's just they're done. And that happens, it can happen, the game can change so fast. So having access to that very, very fast information is I'm sure, a huge benefit. So this is very, very cool. Are you able to aggregate across signals? So do you know, I mean, not necessarily that I'm Jennifer Marsman, but know that I am user, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
No, we
and
don't.
Then be able to, okay, so there's no way to tell, like, if I search for, like, multiple search queries in a row to get additional insight out of that?
Oh, multiple queries in a row, sure.
Okay.
But what I'm saying is we don't know that it's you.
Okay.
Yeah. We know it's someone out there.
Right.
So all of the data is anonymized. All of the data is anonymized, and then we use it in aggregate. So we add up the behavior of lots and lots of people.
Okay.
This is actually, to digress, this is the reason, or one of the key reasons why we've lost the predictions that we have, the ones that have gone wrong, is generally because there were smaller numbers of people voting. So caucus states have been our Waterloo, and the reason for that is because there are just too few people to calculate an average sentiment.
Right.
You know, you may only have a couple thousand people voting across an entire state.
Yes.
And, you know, this is ideal. It works better the larger number of people that you have.
And that makes sense. And I'm sure there's some bias to that as well, because the people who are voting in caucuses may not be the same people who are on Twitter.
That is correct.
Yes.
That is correct. And that's another challenge with web and social is the demographic bias.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
So the demographic bias is a negative, but then a positive, at least from sort of a polling point of view, is that people don't know they're being polled. They're just acting, you know, and they're just doing their thing, and so they're more apt to their activity is more apt to reflect their true feelings, as opposed to if you have a guy standing in front of you asking you questions and you're worried about how you look.
Right. No, that makes absolute sense to me. You're just generally out for knowledge and trying to research candidates and learn more about them. So no, that makes absolute sense that you get more of that true sense. Fascinating. Ah, such interesting stuff here. So I think you've explained the value of web and social data, and it sounds like it gives you a tremendous boost in terms of what you can do for Bing Predicts.
Definitely.
So that's amazing stuff. Are there any resources on social media if people want to follow you and learn more about what Bing Predicts is doing?
Well, if you would like to follow us on Twitter, you can follow the @Bing account. That is Bing-wide, but frankly, since we're the coolest thing in Bing, most of the tweets seem to be about predictions. Okay, you can also go read the Bing blog, which has several articles about predictions. And then finally, you can go to an overview page, which is bing.com/explore/predicts.
All right, I do have one final question. Gene, who is going to win the 2016 presidential election in the U.S.? I really want to know right now.
Well, looking objectively at the numbers, and these are all probabilities, not certainties.
Of course.
I would say that the general election is going to be between Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton, and that Hillary Clinton will win by a small but significant margin.
Okay, all right, let's see if it happens. It was extremely fun to learn a little bit more about the machine learning that can power and predict things like elections and politics. If this was interesting to you, you might also want to check out the other deep dives with the Bing Predicts team in this series, which include how they can make predictions for sporting events, award shows, and who's gonna get voted off reality TV shows. Please check those out. Thanks a lot.